If it's something that has to be done with, because of my personality. And so, you know, I thought it was important because I'm worried about that, but you know, the good women, my dream wasn't around. So I did. Another thing about waiting, though, when you're older, is we can sometimes over discipline in the heat of the moment. Like, you are on restriction for 8 months. Just waiting and talking about it. Why did you wake up early though? You know, this is kind of matter. Or I'd be like, what is that you're going to do? And you'd be like, yes, it was. And then you'd be like, you're going to fix yourself. But that whole body in the heat of the moment, because you're so. And then a lot of times you get up and it's like, hey, I'm so much better here when I got home and did that, but it doesn't matter.
Start being before he does these things, and then he's going to Thank you.
yourself from the side. We needed to keep the argument during your bedroom or legal relationship. I don't want to go back to our legal relationship. I want you to be able to have those things in your hands to file your case. Tell me, okay, that you might be more public or not. Because whether or not you have that conversation, it relies on how the notaries could be treated more back into the child, the legal parent child thing, or be treated with a lot of freedoms and, you know, privileges. And so, you know, if you have to go back, you have to go back and you just say, gee, I wish we didn't have to go back, but this is your choice. You know, you are the one who opened, you know, you walked back through the door, so I think this is down here, and that means the game is over. But it's not my game, it's not my choice. It's your choice.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the parents now, the parent is a rich man. Sue is the one who was sent to another guy, and looking at the head, and how freedoms would be given to the kids, and how those things should be mediated and maybe metered out. Personally, I'm one of these young people who just enjoys the fun of life, and so I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. said, here I am, and I'm coming to help with the baby boomers. And the parents, like my parents, who raised their kids in the 60s and 70s, really weren't prepared. You know, there was such a huge societal shift between the 40s and the 50s, and then the 60s and the 70s, that parents like mine, who I feel bad for them, they were raised in their 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, they don't keep up with their history. And then suddenly, you have these children who were being raised in this culture that had this major paradigm shift toward freedom, openness, and assembly. So it was essentially coming out of the closet, if you will. That my parents were clueless about the kind of cultural temptations and influences that would be thrust upon our lives. They were clearly the only thing to do with the Beatles or any of our rock and roll music. But as parents, you can't opt out. It was so distasteful to my parents, you know, coming from that and that senior generation. And suddenly then, you know, their kids listen to all this rock and roll craziness, and they're like, and all they wanted to do was just shut up. In the 60s, one of the big terms that was used over and over again was the generation gap. And it talked about it a lot because it was such a huge shift between cultures. As parents, you can't be caught off guard from the reality of what your children are facing on a day-to-day basis, whether they are facing it at the daycare as children, if you do that sort of thing. If your child is going to a private or a public school, or you can't be unaware of what's going on down the street at the neighbor's house. You can't be unaware. You can't assume that your child is okay all the time. Because there's no disclosure of where your oldest daughter. We see our own kid, and I don't know how my brother would do it, because I don't know how many kids. And I would have forgotten how many parents do this, but I don't know if this one is 3 years old, and they have this incredible word that we never said in our home. And suddenly, Sue and I were just faced with this, well, she did this. We don't talk like this at all. We keep the dark somewhere, and we tease that back to whether it was on the TV or whatever. But again, whether it doesn't matter where it came from, it came from somewhere because you didn't hear it at home. So, these parents, we get it, that was a huge wake up call for us. It's like, whoa, there are all these voices coming at our child. Through entertainment, through friends, through school, even yes, church. And you have to be aware of that. You know, the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. And that unequally yoked thing can apply to a lot more than just marriage. It can apply to the friends that your children have. And they come from a home with completely different standards, completely different ideas of right and wrong, what's appropriate for a child to watch. You know, we said that you need to place the kids where whatever. It's like, okay, if you're ever over at, you know, so-and-so's house, and they say they want to watch a movie, you don't have permission to watch that movie until you call them and you ask us. And we make that around even to the teenagers. You know, they want to get together and watch a movie. You know, it's such and such, you know, which is not okay. And I'm afraid to go on the internet, I can just quickly do it on my laptop and do it, and, you know, find out, you know, the internet, you know, database. Thank you. what would it mean to them? Well, as parents, particularly when your children are young, you need to make these decisions. How are you going to, what are you going to allow in your home? What kind of music is going to be played in your home? What kind of books? What kind of magazines? What kind of television programs? What is going to be allowed in your home? And it is vitally important. What kind of friends you know that have to speak to you in a second? You know, especially if you have a family in the church who comes to you and say, they realize you've got Catholic blood in your kids, you know, they see you're trying to do a good job of parenting, so they know they're really helping your kids get along with theirs. And so they come to you and say, hey, we're going to get our kids together and play, and then I'm going to go get our people. Amen. Just very, very difficult to deal with. And you know, you want to be you want to love other people, but you know, it comes down to it when you're parenting your child that you're called to protect your child first and foremost. And that is your number one goal. And so there may be times when you just simply have to say, no, we're not going to do this. You know, this child or whatever, I don't feel good about this situation. With my child over that. Maybe you're okay with that child, but you're going to go to your house, and you're going to keep an eye out on that child. We wanted our home to be a place where kids wanted to be, you know, thought it was fun to be, because we wanted them to play in our house because we could do our own better. And we knew that the kind of movie they were going to watch would be a good play in, and then on and on. So we encourage that. And as a child asked for what our kids are going to play in, we don't care about that. We suggest, well, you know, how about if you have them come over here? And, you know, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. But as a parent, you have to be strong enough to be able to stand your ground, stick your bounds, and realize that your job is to protect the child. And again, the world that we live in is an extremely challenging world, and we can't, today, as parents, you can't abdicate your responsibilities. You can't take somebody else's word for it. You know, even when a parent, we've had parents in the past talk about their rules at their home and they've never found out that they didn't follow them. So, you know, you just have to be very diligent about those things. One of the issues that came up in our home a lot, too, to do with the boys, was video games. And because the ones that can come from video games, you know, there are girls that are really wanted to play video games. It wasn't even much of a concern with them. The boys loved kind of role-playing games or games that are really involved running and conquer. Because if you look at this, you know, that there's something at the end of the boy that wants to conquer. And you try to remember any little boy, you know, watch boys take you on the hill. That is hardwired in. The programming is a little boy, and now that they came up the hill, they fight you over the top, you know, by anybody to get up there. And, you know, then when kids come along, they can't play on that big fun. It is so attractive to a little boy. You guys know that now, in our culture, we have addiction crisis for people who spend all day long playing video games. Children are taken out of parents' homes because they're playing video games. It's ridiculous. Obviously, what's going to happen in your home? My point is, you let these things go, and they will just run away from you. Because the flesh just naturally tends toward these things. We have to set up a timer, you know, in the house, and you get 30 minutes. Internet time during the day. You soon get ahead of the timer, or you set the timer on the stove. And yeah, they could save their time if they use 15 minutes, and that's what they could these things that are just coming up. And things that have to come with them. It's possible for U.S. parents to have a neutral reaction to things that can be that go beyond what they say. You probably know, I certainly know some families who have withdrawn from parent fellowship because of the influence they felt they had influence in their children. Thank you. relationship there, which is not exactly the way you understand, you know, it's just incorrect, and it's not really going to protect your children. Seems to me that was visual experience is always something we thought about how movies affect our kids, how the internet affects our kids. And so we put it in place of our audience.
Thank you.
Basketball, but here at Celsius House, and here, Sorry. Thank you.
those kids have gone up to public school. And I'm really thinking of these families because they have faced more adversity socially than what I feel like we did in our kids' case. And I observed how they counted that in making such a tight knit family. And so we are all facing some adversities that we know the previous generation didn't face, but it kind of inspires to create that closeness, to pray, ask the Lord, what can we do in our family to create this family bonding in the midst of the adversity that we face? That seems like just everybody, you know, is out to influence our children. And what can we do so that we have it safe?
Thank you.